M19. The Development of the Science of Christian Science Since Mary Baker Eddy. Number 1A.
Well, the subject I have chosen for today's lecture is the development of the idea of the science of Christian Science. And as I'm speaking as a freelance Christian Scientist, I want to make plain what the platform is on which I work, so that that is settled right from the start. I accept as my only authority the Christian Science textbook and the Bible. I conceive of Christian Science as the comforter for this age. I build on the fact that the textbook gives a complete revelation of the divine principle of Christian Science. And I accept that the textbook contains full statement of Christian Science, so that I do not want to add anything to the textbook, nor do I want to take away something from the textbook, nor do I want to stress one single aspect of the textbook more than the other one. I feel that I want to take the revelation as a whole in a balanced way, so that I don't accept any additional secret revelation outside of the textbook. I want to make clear with that the textbook is my only teacher, that I have no loyalties to any one, but just to the textbook alone. Not to a person, not to any person. And I think this is a very healthy platform from which to work, because even Mrs. Eddy said that we should even take the textbook and not her as the authority. You remember how she said, "You can well afford to give me up, since you have in Science and Health your teacher and guide." She could conceive that the textbook is our teacher, and that students, she says, who make Science and Health a study are in no danger of mistaking their way. So this is the platform from which I go out to take the textbook as my only authority and my only teacher. Now, today I don't want to give an inspirational talk about Christian Science. This is very easy. Anybody who has a little bit knowledge of Christian Science give a very good inspirational talk. I would like to do something much more fundamental than that. Namely, instead of inspiring through a talk somebody and then they go out and are left up on cloud nine, I would like to show how each one of us can approach the textbook or the statements of Christian Science, so that each one knows the method how to study science and health. So it is a talk which I could perhaps epitomize and say, let's come and reason together. Well, is it very easy to understand the textbook? This is my question. Is it so that when we have studied and read the textbook that we can easily and readily understand the textbook? Is it so that when we have read the textbook for 10, 20, 30 years, so that when we start reading the beginning of a sentence, we nearly know the end of the sentence already by heart? Is this really leading us into a deeper understanding of the textbook? Or is it so that when we have studied that textbook day and day and day after day over years and years and years, that there is still something within us that says, somehow I don't quite grasp what it is all about. That there is still that feeling, I haven't quite seen what the textbook really wants to teach us. And this is naturally a situation that Mrs. Eddy herself experienced. We know that she herself says she says, I have been learning the higher meaning of this book since writing it. So she herself was constantly studying the textbook, still with that sense, apparently I don't quite fathom what this textbook really contains. So she was a very earnest student of her own book, of her own revelation. Or she said to a student about 6 months before she left us, mainly to the publisher Edward Norwood, she said, I feel that I'm just really beginning to understand science and health. So you can see all her life she was really struggling to get the deeper sense of what she had written down as a direct revelation. And actually, if she had that difficulty, it is to be understood that she could see that the students at that time had even more the difficulty of understanding the full impact and import of science and health. You remember those statements which she gives when she said in 1887, who is it that understands unmistakably a fraction of the actual science of mind healing? She queries that her students would even understand a fraction, not even the whole, of the textbook. And later in 1896 we have that statement of hers where she says, scarcely a moiety compared with the whole of the textbook is yet assimilated spiritually by the most faithful seekers. So even the most faithful seekers, she could see, could not even understand half of what she had presented. I just want to give these statements to see that to understand the textbook is not just that easy thing of reading a text and reading a text and rereading a text. That there must be something quite unique about the textbook, that it is not so readily understood as another textbook can be understood. So we have that interesting situation which outsiders can hardly understand, that here is an author of a book who had a terrific revelation, but that she had to discover her revelation herself. So I want to speak for a few minutes about the difference between revelation and discovery, so that we don't mistake those two terms. Mrs. Eddy states that she had a revelation, and that she has stated the revelation of the divine principle of Christian Science, and that the textbook contains the complete statement, but that we have to discover it. So our task actually therefore is not to be another revelator next to Mrs. Eddy, but that we are a discoverer, to discover what this revelation implies. So our task is to be a discoverer, and therefore we must see the difference of those two terms. If we take a definition of revelation, we would find that revelation is defined like this: to make known or manifest through divine inspiration, a vision, or the like. So this is revelation, something that comes, so to say, from a divine source, direct to a transparent mentality and brings the light of that direct revelation. Whereas to discover is different. Discover is defined like this. One discovers what existed before. So you can see, as a discoverer, you are not discovering something new, not a revelation, but what is already there. So the definition runs on. It says, discover is one discovers what existed before, but has remained unknown. So discovering is take something that is already there, like the textbook, and see what is in it. Or to discover is also defined to obtain for the first time knowledge of something existing already. You see, that is again, that it exists already, but not perceived or known. So one can see that our job is really to discover the revelation. The revelation is stated, that is stated in its final principle, but we, as the student, have to have that mentality of a discoverer that wants to see what that revelation implies. So, science and health, therefore, as we have seen, is not readily understood because it has not been discovered by the student. We have not yet, so to say, sounded its depths. The fact that Mrs. Eddy demands of us to be a discoverer is stated in many, many references in her books. I just read one or two of these references to show that Mrs. Eddy expected from us to be a student who tries to discover what the revelation implies. She says, to one born of the flesh, she means us, huh? To one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. So it isn't something we can read. Is something that needs to be discovered, and we have to have the mentality of a discoverer. Or she says, mortals must work for the discovery of even a portion of it. So there is a great song of Christian Science that says, work, 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 watch and pray, work to discover, and it needs work to even discover a portion of this big revelation. Which means, let's take time. This revelation cannot be fathomed in its depth just in a single attempt. It needs really years and years of consecrated devotion and honesty and humbleness. Therefore she calls us and says, bear with me the burden of discovery. And she calls it the burden of discovery. It is not an easy job. It needs our best abilities, our best moral, ethical, intellectual, spiritual abilities that we can muster in order to discover even a portion of this terrific big discovery, the Savior for our age. So I gave these few quotations to show that Mrs. Eddy appeals to the student to have that mentality of an investigator, of a discoverer, and to bear with her the burden of discovery. Now, another question that comes up would be, did Mrs. Eddy foresee then an advancement in the understanding of Christian Science? Or is it so that she feels, well, here is the book and everybody can read it and that's that? Or did she foresee that there would be an advancement in understanding? That's really the subject of what I'm talking today, the development of the science of Christian Science. And we know how much Mrs. Eddy was struggling with the belief, especially before she left us, that Christian Science may get lost again. And that in that article, Principle and Practice, which she dictated to Adam Dickey just before she left us, she brings out this very point that human faith must be distinguished very properly from scientific understanding. That if Christian Science is taken on the basis of human faith and belief, then she fears it will get lost again. And she calls us to be awake to the fact that we must scientifically understand her revelation. That we are not faith scientists, as she calls it, but that we are really scientists in the proper sense of the word. It's so easy to believe that Christian Science is a science, and to be so proud that we are Christian scientists. We are scientists. Are we scientists in consciousness, or are we just another kind of believers that believe in science instead of understand scientifically the science? This is the great question. And she could also see very distinctly that the textbook is far in advance of her age, perhaps of our age too. You know that she gives that sense that centuries will intervene before the statement of the inexhaustible topic of science and health is sufficiently understood to be fully demonstrated. So let's not forget that she could see that it will take centuries until the textbook will be understood as what it really is. So that we don't get the feeling we can study the textbook for a little while and for a few years and then we have it. We have read it over and over and over and over and over, and now we know it nearly by heart. But that it may take centuries. So she could see that the textbook apparently cannot be easily and readily understood by a mentality that was prevalent, that's the right expression, prevalent at her age. That the future age will have to bring forth a model of consciousness that is better adapted to discover really the text of the textbook. Or, and she says in regard to that, that the great element of reform that is necessary for a paradigm shift, for another model of consciousness, is not born of human wisdom. It draws not its life from human organizations. She could see that every advancement is the advancement that is born in the individual, and that it is an individual matter of each one how he can fathom the depths of the textbook. So she shows in this way that the textbook is in advance of the age, meaning that a new age must bring a new kind of consciousness in order with which to approach the textbook. That we cannot approach the textbook with the method of yesterday. And that it needs, therefore, other methods, and that these methods are always an individual contribution of spiritual pioneers. It is quite interesting to take up another aspect of this future advancement of understanding, It's interesting to see that she made quite a few prophecies in regard to the future development of the understanding of Christian Science. That we could foresee that when she is no more here, that the idea is still working and is still evolving, and so she made some tentative prophecies in her life. As you remember, in Unity of God, which she wrote 1886-87, when she made that prophecy, that she said that in less than another 50 years, this will bring us up to about 1936-37, see, in an age where she's no more here, she said in less than another 50 years, God's name will be magnified in the apprehension of this new subject. Namely, she indicates the new subject as the signs of spiritual harmony in contrast to what she was experiencing at her time, namely the signs of physical harmony. So here is a prophecy that says in another 50 years, therefore in our age where we live, she could perceive that something would advance the idea so that the textbook would be better understood. She left the science statement, as you know, in 1909, where she said, I calculate that about one half century, well, that will bring us up in the 1950s, that in about one half century more, will bring to the front the men that God had equipped to lift aloft his standard of Christian Science. So again, we have an indication that you could foresee that the idea of the science would evolve. And therefore, we should have that waiting mentality which is willing to watch, that we can see that the evolution of the idea of science is welcomed within our consciousness, and that we bear the burden of discovery so as to be a mother to the new child. I take up another subject, namely, what is the keynote of the textbook? The keynote, perhaps we could say, are 2 points. One is science, and the other, understanding. She builds her presentation of the textbook on these two great works, which counteract the religious belief and the emotional approach to the subject of God. When we see that, we can see that we can ask two main questions. The first one is really, what is it then that has to be understood? What is the object of what we have to understand? Naturally, the answer is the whole textbook, the revelation that she laid down in the textbook. So that's the object to be understood. But the second question, big question, therefore is, but how can it be understood? How? Not what must be understood. That is stated perfectly in the textbook. There is nothing to be added to that, nor taken away from that. So that's there. The revelation is stated in its finality of the principle of Christian Science. But the great question which most students never ask is, how can this textbook be understood? Well, the answer that she gives is naturally through scientific understanding, not through emotion, not through religious beliefs, not through faith, but through scientific understanding. So, she says, Therefore, just reading the book and rereading the book and rereading the book isn't a way of understanding the textbook. A way to understand a novel is to read it. But a way to understand the Christian Science textbook is not to read it. You can read it endlessly and not understand the first thing about the textbook. So the how of understanding is really that big question about which I want to talk to you today. How to understand? One has perhaps never really asked that question. One has taken it for granted that in order to understand the subject, we read it. We read it. We read it with consecration, that's fine. We read it with sincerity, that's fine. All these are wonderful qualities, sincerity, devotion, earnestness, humility. These are qualities, but they do not constitute the structure of understanding, the how to understand. And I want to make that plain to you rather at length so that we get the main issue of this talk. And so I try to build up this subject like this. I take first science and afterwards understanding. When we come to the term science, we have to be aware that the textbook states that what Mrs. Eddy presents is science, not a religion. Not a religion. Not a religion, a science. And if anybody doesn't want to believe it, they have to go to the textbook and ask the textbook. And the textbook will say 1,000 times she has that term science in those 600 pages and says it's science, it's Christian science, divine science, it's science, it's science, it's science. And when you look up the term religion in the concordance, you will find that she only uses that term religion for about 40 times, and mostly in a negative sense. Now, how can we therefore then think that Mrs. Eddy has given us a religion? She has given us a science. And if we don't see that, we approach the textbook with a wrong consciousness, and therefore with a wrong model of understanding the textbook. And therefore, because only like can understand like, we can never understand the textbook. Because a religious thought can only read religious subjects. So only science can know science. And this is the point that we have to see very, very clearly.